This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've heard us talk about David Femininio, injury attorney deluxe. Well, just listen to some of the results David has delivered for his clients. $3.5 million? $5 million? How about $11.5 million? Almost enough to cover Ohio State's NIL. You need an attorney that'll fight relentlessly for you. Call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH. Go to that website anytime at getdavidgetpaid.com. All right, welcome in on a Thursday. Nice to have you with us. 3 o'clock. We're going to make you and a team say no to something. We have fresh commentary from Max Crosby. I have a trade offer. My trade is going to hurt, but I need you to give me one legitimate reason to say no. And I don't control what the Raiders do. Rico doesn't control what the Raiders do. But your job is to make them say no. We're going to do it at 3 o'clock because what Crosby said is very interesting. So we'll get to it. But we're going to start with something different. There's a lot of dumb in the world today, and George Pickens has taken his step at the plate, and it got me and Rico thinking about something. Now, George Pickens, Steeler wide receiver, and he's becoming a known problem, said something stupid on a podcast, essentially demeaning Amon-Ra St. Brown, calling him a slot merchant, that the only reason Amon-Ra puts up numbers is he's a byproduct of the offense, and that he is a slot merchant. As to, you know, guys who play the slot are lesser than a outside receiver. So it got me and Rico talking, and therefore we wanted to bring it to you. Why is it such a struggle for the universe to just admit that Amon-Ra is not in the conversation as a top 10 receiver and probably not as a top 5? Instead, Amon-Ra's in the conversation as the best wide receiver in football. Now, we can do numbers. We can have fun. Rico's got a theory. The point I make to you is, from day one, the dude showed up and has racked 90 and 100 and 120 catch seasons. His yards per catch is up every year. He put up 1,500 last year. He had 11 touchdowns last year. He plays every week, rain or shine. He plays hurt. He's your go-to on every tough down. Oh, and by the way, blocks in the run game. Go find diva wideouts who do that. But yet, Enrico, we've talked about it. He doesn't get the shine he deserves. Mm-hmm. And now you get dogged out by this nobody cancer in George Pickens.
What I don't understand is, why is it that Pittsburgh wide receivers just love to be divas? It's starting to become a thing, David. And it's not to pick on you and your team, but yeah, your guys can't keep their mouths shut, and they're not great receivers. But I look at this, and I think it boils down to everything you just said, Mike. He's not flashy. He doesn't run his mouth. He's a team player. He's about team first, not him. You don't see him throwing a fit on the sideline or pouting because he's not getting any passes. If the Lions win a game and he gets one reception, he's fine with that because we're singing the fight song in the locker room. That's what Amon-Ra St. Brown is. But I think people look at him negatively because he doesn't do the big plays, the splash plays. He doesn't have the 4-3 speed. He's not going to have that 60-yard bomb. As a matter of fact, you're a Lions fan. You probably appreciate the J-Mo touchdowns over the Amon-Ra touchdowns. The J-Mo catches over St. Brown catches because it's splashy. Because it's when Amon-Ra catches a ball, it's a first down, you move on. Even on their own team, when J-Mo catches the ball, you lean forward watching your TV. You stand up in your seat because you're thinking, this is about to be a big play. It was like Barry Sanders when he played here. It's like certain guys, Lamar Jackson, when he takes off running. you lean forward, whether you realize it or not, because you're about to witness history. You don't feel that way with St. Brown. And I think that's why. It's cheap. I do want to play a little bit of a game with you.
Sure.
If you would like.
Oh,
David,
yeah.
Join in. We like the, you know, player A, player B. I throw in a caveat. Player A, player B, or player C.
All right.
Player A, 3,200 yards. This is since 2021. 3,200 yards, 16 touchdowns, 23 receptions. 213 receptions, sorry. 213 receptions, 3,200 yards, 16 touchdowns.
Okay.
Since 2021, player B, 5,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, 330 receptions. Player C, 3,900 yards, 24 touchdowns, 346 receptions. Want to take a guess? Player A? He's a guy that I think a lot of NFL fans will say, flashy guy.
Justin Jefferson.
No, player A, 3,200 yards, 16 touchdowns, 213 receptions. That's Debo. It's Debo for the 49ers. Flashy player, though, right? He gets a lot of the hype. Player B, 5,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, 330 receptions. That's Justin Jefferson. Right behind him is Amon-Ra St. Brown, 38, 77, 24 touchdowns, 346 yards. Justin Jefferson has more total yardage, but as far as touchdowns go, they're right there. As far as receptions go, they're right there. But it's that difference. Jefferson has the bigger plays. Jefferson had a 98-yard touchdown already this season. Mike, it's because you don't get the big. If Amon-Ra, I think we saw in the sheet, he's got one touchdown for his longest catch ever is 70 yards. But most this year, so far, his longest catch, you want to take a guess?
20.
20. That's it. That's why. I don't understand it. I think that it's wrong. But this is why he gets treated this way, is because he doesn't have the big splash. And I think Lions fans, they appreciate J-Mo more than they appreciate him. The true fans don't know. But the fringe fans, because when St. Brown catches it, yeah, good. J-Mo catches it. Man, that means something special is about to happen.
Well, I think if you believe that, you're a moron. So there's that. If you actually think what J-Mo does is more special than Amon-Ra, you're a moron. Straight up. You can call in. You're a moron. Amon-Ra's best receiver in football. Shuts his mouth, comes to work, plays hurt, no drama, doesn't bag his QB, catches the ball, doesn't fumble, one career fumble. And he's infinitely reliable. And he's awesome. He's uncoverable. So I'd love to hear from the people. And I hope you're wrong. I hope people don't call up and they somehow, oh, J-Mo special. J-Mo is a byproduct of playing with Amon-Ra. If I jettison J-Mo somewhere else and he has to face double teams and he's the focal point, he's a below average wide receiver.
Here's where St. Brown is better, and this gets lost in the sauce. Not only does he block, not only is he about the team, but once again, when the Lions win and he's got, you know, three receptions against the Rams. They win in overtime. He had 13 yards, three receptions. You didn't hear him pouting. You didn't see the helmet getting slammed down on the ground. You didn't see any of that stuff. He was about, all right, I'm going to block for David Montgomery. I'm going to do whatever it takes to help this team win. It's that little stuff right there that you don't see, that you don't see on ESPN highlights, that you don't see on the NFL films. This guy, I didn't think that he was, people are like, well, he's a top 10 wide receiver. I'm like, I was Pickens. Come on, he's not. But after last year, I'll be the first to say, no, he's in that category of best receiver in the NFL. He's not Jamar Chase. He doesn't need to be Jamar Chase. 248-539-9797.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about Jamar Chase. You know, let me cue this up because this is another guy. Drives me insane. So here's Jamar Chase, right? Now, this is a guy, when you look at his career,
I just want you to look at the career numbers. You tell me what you see. Because, look, he'll make these fabulous plays. You look at it and you're like, wow. Like, he had that touchdown a couple weeks ago against the Ravens. And he took it to the house. You're like, okay, that was really, really special, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's Ja'Marr Chase in numbers. And I want you to tell me what you see. Now, mind you, he has 81 catches, 87 catches, 100 catches, and 34. Well, Amon-Ra's outdone him there. The yardage. Now, he exploded as a rookie. 1,455, 13 touchdowns. Then 1,000. Then 1,200. This year, 565. But touchdowns, 13, 9, 7, 5 this year. The point is, the separator is what Rico's talking about, guys. Oh, he had an 82-yarder and a 76-yarder. And it's like, I don't care. Right here, right now, for what you do, Amon-Ra's the perfect receiver. I don't think there's this big gap between Ja'Marr Chase and Amon-Ra. I don't think there's a big gap between Tyreek Hill. They ask me right now, who would I rather have play in, play out, right here for Detroit? Amon-Ra. Seriously.
I got you, but yeah.
So, it's like, true. I find it funny when people do this stuff because it's like you think you're going to see this big outlier, like, oh, Amon-Ra's numbers aren't close. Yes, they are.
It sounds ridiculous when you say it until you take a look and you're like, wait, that's not that ridiculous. Their numbers are very comparable. They're very similar. Because you're thinking, oh, Tyreek Hill, of course you want to take him. Do you?
I can't keep it in his pants.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
But see, and that's the other thing, man. There's no controversy. There's no nothing.
No noise.
They signed him, so there won't be a contract holdout. You won't get any of that. He just shows up, goes to work.
Why is George Pickens talking that bula? And seriously, what holds Amon-Ra back from getting his respect as the league's best receiver? And if you disagree, you think we're insane for saying he's in that conversation, bring the ammunition. What do you got? Why isn't he? Because what Rico said is true. No noise. No drama. I'm never going to have to worry about a magical hamstring, Davante Adams. This is a guy who just plays, man. Plays hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's interesting. And don't worry, we'll get to the 3 o'clock thing. That's where people are going to get upset with me. That's okay.
Nah.
That's George Pickens. Not that anyone asked his opinion, but it does lend itself to something. Look, I don't think there's credibility. Trying to say that Amon-Ra is a lesser than player like a Wes Welker or a Julian Edelman, why don't we just get to what George Pickens was saying? A slot merchant is this demeaning term that you're just a cute little slot receiver. You're not an X receiver like I am. Well, that's a joke because this slot merchant might be the best receiver in football.
You know what it is? It is the wide receiver version of being a game managing quarterback.
That's a great call. Yes.
You're a third down running back. You're not a real one.
You're a check down Charlie.
There you go.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, David, what do people have to say?
Let me say this.
Representing the great city of Pittsburgh, Three Rivers.
George Pickens needs to shut up, okay? Jealousy is real, and he's showing it right here. I would take Amon-Ra 10 times over a George Pickens. You know why? Because Amon-Ra will block for you. He will do things in the run game for your offense. George Pickens is me, 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 me. Amon-Ra is not. And it is staggering pre-show when we're going through stats for different receivers and you realize, wow, his touchdowns really match up with
everyone.
The top guys in this league.
So everyone.
He's a top guy in this league, period.
Yeah. Give me some ticket text and we'll go to the calls.
Valeni, this is horrible, horrible. Defense's game plan to stop Hill, Chase, Jefferson first. Defense's game plan to stop the running game and then Amon-Ra here.
No. Say it with your chest. No, say it.
That's not smart.
I don't think he can say the last
part. No, say the last part. Rhyme it. Say it.
That person's not smart. I'll just leave it at that. Amon-Ra is fantastic. His catches and plays mean more situationally during the game. They may not be stat stuffing, but it's drive builders.
Well, it's also name a more complete player. And while he doesn't have the speed of Tyreek, or he doesn't have the size of a Ja'Marr Chase, right? The raw physicality, plays every week, elite route runner, contested catch guy, physical, A+ in the run game, no drama, and produces. You want to tell me you think Amon-Ra's a byproduct of the run game?
How about this? Name another receiver one-on-one who's harder to cover. By the way, I love catching slander for defending a guy from our town. That's fun.
Isn't that amazing?
That's fun.
No, but if you think about it, this Lions team is almost the ultimate underachievers. Amon-Ra, game manager, Jared Goff. Like, we've gone through every little bit. For every player, it's always, they're good, but...
There was an argument when they signed Montgomery, and people saying, well, I don't think he's going to be better than Jamal Williams. What?
You know what, David? That's funny that you said that. That's a name that I haven't heard. Because remember, he was Detroit. He put Detroit on his back. He cried for the 3-1-3.
The Kaz-Kaz-Gaze. What the hell was that thing in Green Bay? We still got that.
Is that Pikachu cap or whatever? But yes. And think about it now. Nobody talks about him. Why? Because you got your guy. Like, it works. And Amon-Ra works with this. He is one of the best wide receivers in the league. I was guilty of it at first until I looked at the stats. They speak for themselves. Okay, so his longest pass reception is 20 yards. Man still scores touchdowns. He still gets it done. He moves the chains, and when he's not, he's in there. He's blocking for his teammates. That's why your running game is so explosive. That top offensive line, along with wide receivers who aren't afraid to get their nose in there and get dirty.
Let's go to the people. Go to Brian, 97.1. What's up, B? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Mike, Rico. At least as I recall, as Amon-Ra was trying to establish himself in the league, that the player he was most compared to, at least what I recall, was Hines Ward. Interestingly, a Steeler as well, right? Hines Ward wasn't known for flashiness. Hines Ward's legacy was he was a badass and he was a winner, yeah. Right? Pickens puts more value on, you know, being on the top 10 highlights on Sunday night than being that contributor to the team's success. And that's why I think, even transitioning this to, you know, what's going on trying to find a replacement for Hutchinson, that Brad Holmes is being very careful to what he brings in that room, because they've got a team full of Amon-Ra's right now. And that's why the Pickens of the world will never get it. You know, if you had a team full of Hines Wards, I bet the Steelers are contending for the AFC title.
Can't lie there. For some reason, Brian, the Steelers receivers think that they're a lot better than what they are. But you're right. A good call on Hines Ward. He does remind me a lot of Hines, where
he's just better.
Yeah, he is. But Hines was a guy that didn't get all the flash. It was more about all the other guys who played the TOs of the world.
Let me ask you this question. We have, Brian, I want you to weigh in on this as well as Rico, okay? If I'm on Raw, you've got the first three seasons in the can. They're right there. If he, this year plus the next four, if he has an eight-year career and these are his numbers, he's a Hall of Famer, right?
He's wearing a yellow jacket. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
So I'll tell you one thing I don't call Hall of Famers.
George Pickens on it?
Right, exactly.
George Pickens is on his trajectory.
The only yellow jacket that guy's going to be wearing is made by Starter or Nike.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Brian.
One will be in Canton. One will be invited to Canton.
That's where I'm at.
Playing the Hall of Fame game.
Right. Yeah, I don't call guys in the Hall of Fame slot merchants. I mean, you do realize this guy's on a Hall of Fame track. Mm-hmm. These numbers are that good. Mm-hmm. And when you win a Super Bowl with him, not if, when, what will the case be? It's crazy.
You know what? People will move the goalposts the same way they're going to do for Jared Goff.
Yes.
Because they won't say this. Here's one more.
If I could knock him, I would knock him for the commercial. Not optimal. Oh, we got to work on the acting.
Oh, not you, George. You don't get any, George. Maybe he should just hold the menu up to his face.
I love insurance. I'm like, all right, I'm on rock. Come on, man. What are we doing here? Come on now.
Oh, I thought you meant the Little Caesars commercial with George Kittle.
No, you
don't get any, George.
No.
Here's another receiver real quick, and then we'll get back to the phone lines. Since 2021, and you know this receiver because he made news this summer, Amon-Ra has 300 more yards, four more touchdowns, and 90 more receptions than this receiver who made a lot of noise this summer.
Brandon Ayuk.
Yes, sir.
All the production, none of the drama. There's value to it. Josh, 97.1. What's up, Josh? Okay. Guess not. All right, we'll go over to Marvin, 97.1. Hey, Marv.
Gentlemen, what's up, man? How you guys doing?
Excellent, good. Marv. What's going on?
Hey, man, I love the show, man. I got one quick question, man. Does it mean I'm getting old if I like this, if I'm listening to y'all every day?
No.
It means you're getting wiser, getting smarter.
Oh, my. Oh, okay. All right, let's talk about Amon St. Brown. So, listen, man. Amon St. Brown is a good wide receiver, man. But y'all are out of control talking about he's a great wide receiver, man. I mean, this guy is nothing. He's Julian Edelman, like they said. He's a good receiver. He's going to catch the ball. I'm his height. I can catch the ball, but he's not going to make the blow the top off. I cannot believe you gentlemen are comparing him to Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
That is absolutely ridiculous.
Why?
He is a top three receiver. He should be our third receiver, slot receiver. We need another big-time receiver on this team to get to where we want to be in the Super Bowl. That's the reason with DC, man, is our fans, we accept mediocrity. And that's why we don't make big splashes and trades.
So, Marvin, quick question. Because I had this conversation pre-show. Gun to your head. I'm sure you love both of them, but gun to your head, the Lions can only keep one receiver. Is it St. Brown or is it J-Mo?
At this point, it's definitely St. Brown. I mean, no question about it. I like J-Mo. Don't get me wrong. I like what he brings. But, you know, St. Brown is a very good, consistent receiver. I agree with that. No question. He's going to catch the ball. But he's not doing Jamar Chase type things. I know y'all kind of stuck on his stacks, but I mean that's Jared Goff go-to guy because he can't really, you know, throw the ball deep. I'm not a huge Jared Goff fan, by the way. I know y'all don't want to hear that, but
Marvin, every opinion is welcome.
But man, St. Brown, I just cannot understand why y'all have so much like he's the best receiver in the league.
Yeah, you know it's interesting. You know it's interesting. Here's something. By his peers, you realize he's a first team all pro, right? Not a pro bowler, first team all pro. Do you know the other first team all pro on this team? Penei Sewell. He's viewed as the best effing tackle in football. Oh wait, I forgot. He plays right tackle, not left, so he's booty. Right? All pro. You said he's the third wide receiver on the team. Now, I turned my microphone off because I'm in a good mood. It's nice out. Foliage season. Crack kills. Tyreek Hill. Okay, then tell me what Tyreek does. Play in, play out basis. You want to say Tyreek is a better deep threat? I have no argument. I don't need one. But on a play in, play out basis, run game and pass game, professionalism, no drama, availability, physicality, and Amon-Ra's never chokeslammed a pregnant woman, Tyreek has. You know what?
Let's just keep it on the field.
No, I don't have to. There is a human being quotient in this. Amon-Ra hasn't broken a little kid's arm.
No, but
Gee whiz.
Because when we go through all the stats, you know what we don't say, Mike? He has long touchdown catches. And that's the knock on him.
It's so nuanced.
Yeah, you know, he doesn't, you know, you're not going to see Goff throw back and it's going to be 68 yards and he's going to be on the other end of it.
Man, I pray to God this weekend, just like last year where Amon-Ra a 70-yarder good. I hope he goes and gets another one now. Like, if that's the lengths we got to go to, that's like saying the guy, your best player in basketball, he don't dunk enough for me. He's averaging 24 and 10. Right. Oh, but he don't tomahawk.
Right. Oh, he's not hitting 45-foot three-pointers.
Yeah. People are weird, man. Coming up at 3, got some new quotes from somebody we'd love to see in a Lion uniform, and I am just going to make you say no to something. We're gonna go down this road in a very upfront manner, and if you don't want to do it, you just have to say why. That's it. So we'll get there. Right now, I'm tired of the slander towards Amon-Ra St. Brown.
George Pickens on a podcast, calling him a slot merchant. Basically, that's why he gets fed the ball. And it's like, no, he gets fed the ball because you can't cover him one-on-one. He gets fed the ball because he doesn't do drops. He's an elite route runner. He's physical. He'll make the tough catches in tight windows. He's dangerous on all parts of the field. He's also vital to the running game because, unlike most punk-ass wide receivers, he gets his nose dirty. And just for the J-Mo people, hey, shout out your guy. So does J-Mo. J-Mo will put you on your ass. That's why the Lions' running game works. Mm-hmm. Wide receivers break big runs, not the offensive line. Learn it. It's true.
No. Mike, you're correct, because the wide receiver gets you to the second level and to the goal. The offensive line gets you those first 4 yards. For you to go from 4 yards to 20 yards, that's a wide receiver block in there.
Agree. Unless you're like Derrick Henry, then you just murder people.
That's a business decision.
That's a whole different thing. Let's go to Sam, 97.1. Sammy, what's up?
Mike, Rico, how you doing, boys?
Good, hey. Brother. What's up?
Well, I mean, I put it like this. The Lions have what I would consider probably, I'm biased, the top offense in football, at a minimum top three. So it kind of reminds me of like the 99 Rams, the greatest show on turf, where there's too many mouths to feed sometimes. So if Jahmyr Gibbs only rushes for 40 yards a game, does that mean Jahmyr Gibbs sucks at his job? I don't think so.
No, but part of, okay, but here's the thing. Yes, there's other talented players here, but from day one, Amon-Ra entered this sport and was a Pro Bowler. From day one.
Yes.
Walked in the league with 90 catches on a bad team. And he's just gotten better every single year. And yet, no one ever talks about him as the best receiver in the sport. And I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, for my money, and I hope we beat the hell out of him this weekend, the best receiver in the sport is probably Justin Jefferson, but I don't know. I think in a good offense, you need spacing. You need a guy like J-Mo over the top. You need Amon-Ra underneath. You need some good backs out of the backfield, and you need Laporta. You know?
Oh, and it's the same thing that Minnesota has. I mean, we all act like, what, Justin Jefferson does it alone. They drafted Jordan Addison in the first round. They traded for T.J. Hockenson. They've always had a stable of backs. Mm-hmm. Like, they have support. No receiver's able to do it alone. Like, Ja'Marr Chase's numbers are better with T. Higgins than without. Why? Because you need help. So, yeah, I mean, Sam, I'm with you. Look, I'm fine if someone says, hey, I prefer Jefferson as the best, but I understand the case for Amon-Ra. See, we don't even get to have conversations like that in the media, Sammy. They don't include Amon-Ra in this discussion, which to me is, that's malpractice.
Disrespectful.
He's fantastic.
I totally agree. And as far as George Pickens is concerned, he plays for the Steelers, and the Steelers suck. Bye. Thank you.
There you go. See you later. Yeah. How do you like that, David?
It's truth. I mean, I can't say anything about it.
You're going to be all right. Little quarterback switch this week, huh?
Mr. Dangerous.
That'll be me Sunday night.
5-2 Steelers. Get used to that.
Go to Shane, 97.1. What's up, Shane?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Amon-Ra is the best receiver in the league. I'll tell you why. And what's wrong with people like George Pickens and that fan or that caller a couple minutes ago. I think it's things like fantasy football and statistics. These people are just obsessed with numbers. And guys like Amon-Ra St. Brown, and I think this whole entire organization, are obsessed with one statistic, that's wins. And what he does, his work ethic, what he does on the field, off the field, that's a guy that if all of a sudden the league just dissolved and all the players are free agents, I was a GM, he'd be one of the first guys I'd want on the team. I'm just amazed by people, what they say about that. Look at last year, the Rams game, when it came down to the very last play to seal the game, who did you go to? Your most reliable guy who's going to get you that first down. Guys like J-Mo are exploding now. Why? Because defenses and defensive coordinators know, we got to put bodies on Amon-Ra. The guy gets open. That's freeing up other people. I don't care about statistics. I care about wins, and this guy's a winner on this team.
100%. And I think he's one of the culture leaders. I think there's value there. I don't think anyone is following Tyreek Hill into war. I don't think Tyreek Hill sets the tone for the Miami Dolphins. Amon-Ra defines the very slogan and culture that your team is built.
That's exactly it, Mike. And a guy like Tariq Hill, yeah, he's awesome. He's a superstar. I don't want a guy like that in the Lions. I want Amon-Ra St. Brown guys. I want our offensive line guys, dudes that have this character that aren't obsessed with, yeah, he's going to have a day. He's going to get 12 catches for 150 and two touchdowns. Next week, he might have two catches. But you know what? It doesn't matter. They're winning, and that's what is important. So yep. Screw the stats. This guy's the best.
Well, and the best part, I mean, Shane, you don't have to screw the stats. The stats play.
The stats are there, but you know what?
Well, they speak.
Oh, go ahead, Shane. Go ahead.
Yeah, they speak for them. They speak. I'm sorry, Rico. They speak for themselves. He puts up the numbers. So, you know, and that back to that George Pickens, didn't he have a fumble a few weeks ago that basically cost them the game? And I watched the interview with him, and he was all moping and whining. Yeah, Amon-Ra doesn't fumble, but you know what he does? He's going to be the first guy to admit that he did and probably go sit there and catch another 150 balls after practice or let guys beat on his arms till the ball falls out. That's the kind of guy he is. So
yeah, it was probably the ball's fault. Yeah, that he fumbled.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
But no, Shane, I appreciate the phone call. I think you guys kind of hit upon something, too, that, and I guess maybe the league sees him as a star but not a superstar because with the flash, that's when you get superstar status, where all of a sudden you feel like teams are designing a defense just to stop you. Like the Lions are drawing up defenses to make sure Jefferson doesn't just torch them. He hasn't reached that superstar status yet because he's going to get his catches. You're not going to stop him, plain and simple. So I think that's another reason why he doesn't get the love is because he's not ever going to be deemed a superstar.
You know what's funny is like, I know you got to go way back for you to have the best receiver on your team with Jerry Rice. Like that's a different era. Like for me, it's not as far away. Is there was a time OBJ was the best receiver in the sport. He had all the flash. Lord knows he was living off that one catch against Dallas for years. The point is, best receiver in the sport, right? Could take it to the house on any play. Go look at the slant pass against the Ravens. I hated his guts. I wanted him off the team. I wanted him gone while he was at his apex because he was a bleep hole. Because he was always in the news, all the histrionics. I'm proposing to a kicking net. I'm faking like I'm going to the bathroom in the end zone in Philly. I'm crying to the officials. I'm bitching to the media. I'm in Paris with some chick in a hotel room and it's all over social media. It's just all of it. So when you look at it, like I've lived the other side of it with diva wide receiver. Maybe I'd love Amon-Ra because he's none of that. Mm-hmm. He's just about the work. Mm-hmm. And that's, I don't know, that fits us here. Yeah. I think it fits winning football.
Brother, you speak to the choir. Trust me, Detroit, feel fortunate that he's locked up. You don't have to deal with holdouts like for the last two seasons in San Francisco. First it was Debo's turn, then it was Ayuk's turn. There's always something with them. They're never happy. He just seems like he's happy. He wants to be here. He wants to help his team win. He wants to help his team get over the top.
He's got to upgrade his performance in commercials.
Yes. Take some of that money that you got and take a few acting courses.
Him and Cade, we got to fix it.
He's from the L.A. area. You would think it would be easy for him.
Listen, him and Cade, we got to fix it. You're going to be in a commercial now. Come on. You can't sound like RoboCop. We got to fix that.
You know, maybe he should just go talk to his coach because Dan Campbell's pretty good in his commercial.
You know, listen, I'll be honest. The Applebee's, that was a B-plus commercial. It was solid.
See, I laughed. I'm going to give it an A-minus because, put the menu up.
They'll never see it coming. It wasn't bad. 2-4, better than Andy Reid. Get Andy Reid off TV. The Lado one with the bundle Ruski, I have to mute it. I can't do it. It's absolute nightmare fuel.
I think the funniest one when he was stealing Mahomes' nuggets.
But we've hit the end with that deal. He's approaching Flo from progressive status. Yeah. No more Andy Reid. 248-539-9797.
All right, let's have some fun. Let's talk a little football. David, if you would, please. College football.
Yes, college football, and we are, we're almost in November here, so we're getting close to the end, which means we're mid-season awards time. Let's get to it here. Let's start with, and I want everyone to be involved, including you, Kenny, Coach of the Year. Coach of the Year so far.
Start with Kenny Codd.
It's definitely not Kirby Smart, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, come on.
No, you know what? I'm going to pass for now.
What?
because I don't want to pick Sarkisian, and I might have to.
Okay.
And we're going into this week. I'm a little raw. I'm a little emotional. It's probably Sarkisian.
Rico Beard, Coach of the Year.
Kurt Cignetti, Indiana. He's taking a program. Mike, you know what? Hey, full Jeter cap tip to you. You nailed it.
He's
at the
such
beginning.
A penis.
No. But he's taking a dead program. And he embraces it and is like, hey, guys, I need you to fill up the stands. Wake the F up and come out here and support our team this weekend.
Yeah.
And he's turned this team into Indiana was everybody's homecoming game.
The key to Rico, they're entertaining to watch.
Yes.
I know that that's not the most important thing, but damn, it helps. And they got a big game against Nebraska.
They run a touchdown play.
They do. A lot of them.
Yeah.
Maple Leaf missile. Yeah, Cignetti would be mine. I know the schedule's been soft, but he's such an ass. And I mean that as a compliment. Even what he had to say about the West Coast trip. Did you hear that?
No.
So he was talking to McAfee about it. And they're like, he's like, yeah, listen, the weight guys and all the staff here, they're like, oh, we got all these plans. He's like, yeah, we're not doing any of that. We're going to show up late. We're going to get up early. We're going to kick their ass and get back on the plane. I'm just. he is who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's working. And yes, I think they'll beat Nebraska this weekend.
I don't know if he's going to be long for Indiana because I think he's going to be the hottest name in coaching. Indiana's going to have to pony up to keep him there.
But you need a school willing to tolerate him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't. He will never work at a place where the boosters are going to run the deal.
About to say a little bit of the Harbaugh effect that after a while he wears on you. And you know what? You can go.
I'd say so.
So no love for Matt Campbell.
Not a hell with him.
Okay. All right.
He's back. He's back.
Sure. Freshman of the year. Now, I think there's only two choices here.
Yeah, Ryan Williams or Jeremiah Smith. Can I just go 1 and 1A? They're both amazing.
You could.
I'm going to go Jeremiah Smith only because when Ohio State, who's been wide receiver U, comes out and says he is better than all of the other wide receivers that we've had as a true freshman, that speaks volumes because they have a lot of receivers in the league right now. They believe in him, and you can't stop him.
How about this? I'll go with Rico's answer. Unless Ryan Williams lights Rocky Top on fire Saturday night. But I'll go with you for right now. Let me see the kid on the big stage. What?
I'm just saying, okay.
He did great against Georgia.
Let it play out. Okay, I got
you. I want to see tomorrow night, but hell, maybe Jeremiah could do a few more one-handed grabs against State just to torment us.
Brother, when I'm sitting there in the crowd, I said, why is he celebrating?
Yeah.
He didn't care. They showed on the Jumbotron once. Yeah, he caught it, folks. Let's
first
move on.
First player in Spartan Stadium history to catch a touchdown pass with his nutsack. That takes talent, people.
I mean, I felt bad for the corners because you did everything that you could do.
Doesn't matter.
That's one where you just look at the coach. What'd you want me to do, coach?
Rika. Sack. I mean, it's ridiculous. David, go ahead.
So rightly so. We always focus on the Heisman Player of the Year, stuff like that. So what? Who do you think is the most disappointing player? Player that's supposed to have expectations going in high, and they've disappointed so far. Could it be Will Howard?
Could I say Carson Beck?
You could.
Yeah.
You could.
The performance against Kentucky is very hard to get out of my mind. The first half against Alabama is hard to get out of my mind. He was supposed to be the number one overall draft pick in the NFL. I don't think anyone has him there anymore. I would love Kenny's opinion, but I don't know if he's in stall number two.
Yeah, I would probably go Will Howard because I expected a little more because you have a lot of toys at Ohio State.
Last play of the game.
So, yeah, I expect a certain level, and he is not – Now he's truly the quarterback born on third base, and he is standing on third. He's not even attempting to go home.
Kenny, I said Carson Beck being the disappointment for me based on the Kentucky game, first half against Bama. I know Saturday will tell the tale, but is it fair today to say he's disappointing?
I believe it's absolutely fair. At the beginning of the season, everybody had him a high draft pick and a potential Heisman, and I just don't think he's come close.
Okay.
He's put up half of that performance in my eyes. Maybe I'm being too hard on him because he's my guy, but I don't think I am.
You know what? Let me Cam Rising.
Well, he's dead.
That's just it. Then just say he's dead.
Got it.
And stop telling me he possibly could play this weekend. Yeah, it'd be right, 'cause I expected so much and nothing from him.
David.
So since I'm on disappointing, I'll stay right there before we do surprise team. Let's do disappointing team first.
Jesus. I mean, how long you got? USC's disappointing. 3 plays from 6-0, but eventually, guys, guess what? You don't make the play. It's who you are. So USC would be one. Florida State has to take the cake there. I mean, they've been an absolute car wreck. SEC-wise, I'll own it. Rico was right. I was wrong. Ole Miss, brutally disappointing to have 2 losses before mid-October. There's 3. Michigan State. Just leave me alone. Go ahead.
Was it high expectations for
just
that?
Just leave me alone.
Jeremiah Smith just scored.
Nuts.
I'm going to say, yeah, Florida State, I think, is that team. It went from the fluke loss overseas at Ireland to the next week. To the next, maybe they're just bad.
Correct.
Yeah. More on them later.
On this stupid bracket that I made, I have Florida State making a deep run, so call me an idiot. That's on me.
Idiots.
Surprise team. Surprise team for this year so far.
I'll give you one. And I know they're not fun to watch, and maybe you haven't seen them. What about Arizona State? They were supposed to be absolute puke. And then a beautiful angel descended upon them from Sacramento State named Cameron Scataboo. And he's basically Mike Allstott of the desert.
Mm-hmm. And their coach has pretty much said, hey, anybody that took the over on our team, congratulations. It was 4.5. We've got 5 wins. Go spend your money wisely. Surprise team for me, I like Arizona State. I got to go with Vanderbilt.
Good call. They're just, you know what? Do we just say words we never thought we'd say? Vanderbilt, good.
Yeah.
They're good. They're a ball team.
I mean, could you imagine Vanderbilt and playing Indiana in the playoffs? Sounds ridiculous. And then the winner takes on the Army. Sounds ridiculous, but.
Sounds amazing.
Could happen.
Sounds like we're doing a playoff game in West Point. Let's go.
Well, speaking of playoff games, and Kenny mentioned it, for the 3 of us, me, Kenny, and Rico, we did our bracket before the year. What's that team that you want to replace? Kenny just said Florida State, clearly.
Will you please take Falwell University and the boom mic and the lighting rig off of that, please?
No, can't take Liberty off.
If you only get to take one off, David, that's not David's one.
No, that's not my one.
The pool boy's been tapping that all year, man. They ain't making the playoff.
No.
Come on now.
It's NC State. I had NC State in there.
Whoa, buddy. Hold on. You win. They are booty.
Yeah.
You know you're bad when you're catching 11 from Cal.
Exactly. Take them off.
At least I had them making the playoffs and losing in their first game. But I had Florida State, too. But they were losing at Happy Valley. They're going to go to Penn State, and it was going to be a whiteout, and they were losing. I'll stick with the other teams.
I had them winning twice.
Uh-oh.
Well, you've made a mistake, and that is your college football blitz.